Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm happy to be here today. I love St. Patrick's Day. Haven't done anything like this year. Since it falls on a Tuesday, I think all the big celebrations and stuff, the parade and stuff was last Saturday, but I don't know that. Because I live in my own bubble. I told Jared that one time when I'd gone and picked him up, my son, from the airport, and we're driving home, and he asked me if I'd heard something about my niece. You know, did you hear that so-and-so, that she did this? And I said, no. He goes, really? And I said, I live in my own bubble. He goes, you do live in your own bubble. And I do, and my bubble's a happy place. You know, I have I choose what I pay attention to, which is kind of good. It keeps me neutral, and I have to be neutral for what I do. So anyway, it's just happy St. Patty's Day. Hope you're wearing green. I'm not, but that could change, right? That could change. I was thinking about St. Patrick's Day. It was always a big deal. You know, in school, you had to wear green or somebody's going to pinch you. But when I worked for... when I was in the mortgage business and worked for Colorado Bankers, we had a potluck every St. Patty's Day. And it was a small company. It was like family. It really was. It was a small company. And we had a lovely lady, Joyce, who was our receptionist, who raised like seven kids and made corned beef and cabbage like nobody's business. So she would always come in with this big cooker thing, like giant cooker thing. And it was just wonderful. We all contributed something, but it was nice. And it was a celebration. And I don't know why that came to mind, but I may have to find corned beef and cabbage someplace. I'm sure any restaurant. I live in Denver, so there are restaurants very close by. But that sounds really good. Anyway, happy St. Patty's Day to you. That was just a little reminiscence. That's one thing happening this week. Spring officially begins on Friday. This Friday, spring is here, the 20th. It's so interesting, the weather here. I know I talk about the weather a lot, but it's just a phenomenon. I mean, it really, truly is. We had, last Saturday was 70-something degrees and cloudy, and Sunday morning I woke up to snow, and it was like 17 degrees, 20 degrees. And it was interesting because my phone, you know, my iPhone that pretty much never gets the weather correct, but I look at it anyway. It said we were, you know, it was supposed to be cloudy Saturday and Sunday, and Sunday was supposed to be a drop in temperature, but it mentioned nothing about rain or snow. But the clouds Saturday night, as I was kind of looking up in the sky, had that kind of fluffy, at least rain kind of look to them. They were kind of gray, not just white clouds. But nothing happened that night. So I didn't, you know, think about it. But the next morning when my alarm went off on my phone, you know, it always shows me the time and the temperature. And it was, like I said, like, I think it was in the teens, maybe 20, and had a snowflake beside it. So, you know, I went running to the window, and sure enough, we had snow on the ground, and there wasn't it. And it was supposed to have stopped, right? That was like at 6 or something in the morning. And it was supposed to have stopped about 8. It snowed all day long. And some of it was so light you could hardly see it, but it snowed all day. The temperature, I think, was supposed to end up being in the 50s, but I don't think it ever hit 30 all day long. So it did accumulate, but the initial part of it just soaked right in because it had been 70 degrees the day before. So it was just an amazing thing to watch, and so, so happy. And by the end of the day, it had covered, by the time it finished, it had covered my whole back lawn, which is big, and took a bit to soak in because yesterday morning when we woke up, it was 17 degrees. So we missed our walk a couple of days, but it for snow, it was worth it. It was worth it. But the thing that's very interesting is yesterday it was back in the 50s. Today, I'm not sure. Well, right now it's 63, but it's supposed to be in the 80s by the end of the week. 80s. It's incredible. And I can say I like snow better than 80 degrees any day. But it's spring, and we really do have a history here of having more snow and more moisture in spring than in winter. And last winter, well, right now I think we're ahead of what we did all last winter. But it's interesting, and I'm staying detached and just watching what's going to happen, and it's just delightful. It really is delightful. Anyway, thank you again for being here. I am really happy to be with you today. I've got a great stuff I want to talk about and share with you. Right now, the show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner to join me on YouTube, or you can just go to www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. I do not do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me or just a counseling, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be on another call, just put in a callback request, schedule a call. I'm notified immediately via text, and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month, which is 12 day. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And that just means you leave your email address. That's all you have to do, and then you'll be notified of all the great things that we have going on. Mark Husson sends out the best postcards, the best postcards. So it's worth it. Joining 12 promotions is worth it for the postcards. But while you're on 12listen, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. Gratitude's an amazing vibration, because when you post what you're grateful for, you're giving attention to it, right? Whether it's in your experience, something that's happened that you're celebrating, and we can celebrate with you, the advisors at 12listen at our monitor that board 24/7. So we're adding our attention to your intention and empowering it in that way. So it can be something that's happened and we'll celebrate with you, or it's something that you are bringing into, you're working to manifest. And we will add our attention to that, which also empowers the intention. So either way, gratitude is a wonderful vibration to just operate in. You know, when you are grateful for something, you're focusing on good, right? And the more gratitude you give, the more you receive in your life to be grateful for. And the cool thing about that is the more you notice things in your life to be grateful for. So it's a really lovely circle to just, you know, practice gratitude. Just practice it. I have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available now. You know, spring is new beginnings. That's what it truly is. It's not just a metaphor. It is new beginnings in action. It is the action season. So, you know, nature is coming back to life, and it's just incredible to see things come through that, you know, that kind of bleak winter ground and see these beautiful things popping up. I had a little purple flower, and I can't remember what the name of the flower is. It's not a normal one. I cannot remember what the name of it is. It's kind of fuzzy. But I noticed the other day, it's right under my mailbox outside, one little flower coming up. And, you know, the rest of the things are just starting to get green, the, you know, tulip leaves and stuff like that. But there was actually a flower there in March. That was amazing. But spring is, you know, as I said, it's nature coming back to life. And that is a beautiful, powerful energy. You know, it's forward motion, it's momentum. And we can use that in whatever season we're in. We do it. It benefits us really to kind of harmonize with the energy of the season. So with this time-based session, we can use it any way you want, but this is a great time to use that momentum to release limitations, to release just old stuff, baggage you've been carrying around with you that no longer serves you. And just so that you can be available for new opportunities, that you can really be kind of like the channel, the instrument for that lovely momentum and see things happening in your life as a result of it. So anyway, it's a good session. Thank you again for listening. However, and whenever you do, there is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12 Radio is just a great source of inspiration, information, and support. You can also find my shows for as long as I've been doing them on my YouTube channel. So either way, but going back before, there's a whole lot of good stuff on there from all of us, those of us who are now on YouTube and the rest of us. There's just good stuff. I encourage you to take advantage. I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing my show today. And we're going to move into the teaching segment by listening to a few minutes of a song called On the Road to Rivendell. It's by Everstar from the Celtic Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. And to me, it's a bright, springy song. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. I am so happy you're with me today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you like that music. I just thought it was kind of, well, springy. As I said initially, I don't know why I think so, but it's light and it's uplifting. And Celtic music is great during the month of March, I think. And it's St. Paddy's Day. It's St. Paddy's Day. So have to play something from the Celtic Lounge, one of them. So today, I want to continue sharing just wisdom from, you know, different places, different wise men and wise people, using the Four Agreements, the book by Don Miguel Ruiz, as the topics or the kind of the foundation, so to speak, for what I'm talking about. The Four Agreements, as I've said every week, are powerful spiritual concepts that I really have enjoyed hearing through a different voice. This is Toltec, T-O-L-T-E-C, wisdom, which is, I don't know if this is exactly the right way to say it, but like spiritual wise men, elders from Mexico. It's just the way he says things that just hit me, you know, and it's like, oh, that's like, and then I go back and it's like, yeah, truth is truth. You know, truth is truth. That's all there is to it. And what he teaches has been taught probably in every spiritual philosophy. So it's really fun to find it and just kind of build, you know, and make a beautiful circle. So I've really enjoyed doing these lessons, putting them together and the way they've unfolded. So, you know, the agreements sound simple, and they are simple, but they cover a lot of ground, and they're a lot deeper than they sound by just, you know, just on first listen or first awareness of them. So we've covered so far the first agreement, be impeccable with your word, and we talked about the power of the word. The second, don't take anything personally, and found that acceptance plays a huge part in not taking anything personally. The third was don't make assumptions, and discovered in that self-concept was a huge influence in not making assumptions. It's incredible how deep they are. Today, we're going to continue with the fourth agreement, which is always do your best. And always do your best is not about perfection. It's about doing your best, the best that you can, in every moment, no matter where you are. So it does have to do with acceptance as well. You know, accepting where you are, but still doing your best from that point. You know, not saying, oh, well, I'm kind of tired today, so forget it. It's not that. Okay, I'm kind of tired today, but I still need to do this, and I'm going to do it the best I can. It's about integrity, you know, just being in integrity, doing what you do with integrity. And and of course, there's an awful lot of teachings and other information that fall right in line with this. Excuse me one second. Wow. Wow, that's a little interference. Sorry about that. Hang on one sec. I just want to double check and make sure my microphone is up. Yeah, okay, good. I was trying to mute my headset, which I never know if it works. So I apologize for the noise. And as I said, for the frog in my throat. But we're going to go ahead because this is what we do. And we're not going to be stopped by a little resistance. The fourth agreement is about the action of the first three. So he wrote, under any circumstance, always do your best, no more, no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. Just do your best in any circumstance in your life. It doesn't matter if you're sick or tired. If you always do your best, there's no way you can judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, there's no way you're going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. By always doing your best, you'll break a big spell that you've been under. Those are words of wisdom. You know, truly, always doing your best doesn't mean perfection. We are not perfect. Life is not perfect. We will never be perfect. Life will never be perfect. But we hold ourselves to standards of perfection and life. We hang on to, you know, hang on to life, you know, being better than it is. And therefore we suffer, you know, when we want it to be different than it is. And we suffer when we want ourselves to be different than we are. You know, that's, and in wanting ourselves to be different, that is the complete and total opposite of love. Opposite of love. And we have these standards. And I speak from, and I'm speaking from personal experience, but I don't think I'm the only person who does this. We have standards of perfection that we hold ourselves to, that we wouldn't hold another person on the planet to. I mean, but we have to do this way. It has to be right. And that those come from and come through our influences. You know, what we've learned from the time we came into this incarnation and what we've experienced in our education and our early childhood and our prenatal influences. That's where they come from. It's the rules, quote unquote, the rules that we make for ourselves. And when we don't measure up, we don't meet them, we judge ourselves to no end. And as I said, I think we're all familiar with that experience. But in going back to what Ruiz said, always do your best in this moment because you only are who you are in this moment. So I want to talk about, that brings me to, you know, the Buddha's middle way, being in the world. You know, we have to be in the world because we are in the world, right? And the more that we can go with it, with life as it's happening in the moment, again, acceptance, accepting the circumstance we're in, the situation, whatever's happening, accepting it, whatever is happening, and accepting ourselves exactly where we are. And again, maybe you didn't get enough sleep, maybe you have a headache, you know, whatever it is, that's where you are. That's where you are. And so by just having that, then you can be in the moment and do your best. In a lecture called Buddha and Buddhism, Alan Watts gave his interpretation of the middle way. And I've shared this before, but it's so brilliant. This is not verbatim, but you can find the lecture on alanwatts.org. The Buddha's mission was to end suffering. After he became enlightened, he gave the world the Four Noble Truths. The fourth is the Eightfold Path, which are just principles for living in harmony with the unity of life, which he called the middle way. Alan Watts said that the middle way is not a compromise between asceticism and hedonism, but is about living a balanced life. And he used the analogy of riding a bicycle. If you start to fall to the right, you turn your wheel to the right to stop the fall. You turn into the fall. To the right of the bicycle, or you turn to the right of the bicycle to right the bicycle. He said, so he gives the example of, so you're falling into fear. So you resist the fear, and that causes worry. Worry is being afraid because you're afraid, and it compounds itself. But when you quote unquote get with the worry, and just observe yourself being worried, it's neutralized. It's neutralized. And I'm just interjecting here. It has to be because you're not fighting it, right? You're fighting when you're just caught up in it, being afraid because you're afraid, then all you're getting in your head is more and more reasons to be afraid, and why, you know, how this thing is going to grow to, you know, just craziness, and it doesn't have to. But when you just observe yourself being worried, it's like, okay, here's the issue. And right now I feel worried. I feel scared. And you just watch yourself do that. You're not fighting it. I mean, nobody wants to be worried. Nobody wants to be afraid. Nobody wants to have problems, but that's life. That's life. So by not pushing against it, you just kind of fall into it. And he wrote, he continues, living a balanced life is about not fighting ourselves. He said there is a constant conflict between ourselves and our feelings, ourselves and our experiences. But when we accept ourselves rather than fight our feelings or experiences, we are more in control of our lives and we are coming together with ourselves. And when we do that, coming together with ourselves helps us to come together with everything outside of us. Everything begins with us. Everything. So, the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path, talk about, you know, always doing your best. That is the topic. That's our foundation. The Eightfold Path is a simple path for being in the world, being in life, and doing our best. And this, what I'm going to read, is from Eknath Eshwaran's translation of the Dhammapada. So the first on the Eightfold Path is right understanding. And it is seeing life as it is. In the midst of change, where is there a place to stand firm? Where is there anything to have and hold? To know that happiness cannot come from anything outside, and that all things that come into being have to pass away, this is right understanding, and it is the beginning of wisdom. Right purpose, the second, follows from right understanding. It means willing, desiring, and thinking that is in line with life as it is. Right speech, right action, right occupation follow from right purpose. They mean living in harmony with the unity of life, speaking kindly, pardon me, speaking kindly, acting kindly, living not just for oneself, but for the welfare of all. In the last three steps, brother, the Buddha said, the last three steps deal with the mind. Everything depends on the mind. Our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. Suffering follows an evil thought as the wheels of a cart follow the oxen that draw it. Joy follows a pure thought like a shadow that never leaves. Right effort is the constant endeavor to train oneself in thought, word, and action. Right attention follows from right effort. It means keeping the mind where it should be. Whatever is positive, whatever benefits others, what conduces to kindness or peace of mind, those states of mind lead to progress. Give them full attention. Whatever is negative, whatever is self-centered, what feeds malicious thought or stirs up the mind, those states of mind draw one downward. Turn your attention away. The final, the eight, of the Eightfold Path, the eighth, is the meaning, is right meditation. And that just means the training of the mind. So all of those things are not impossible. Now, I should say, none of those things are impossible. And the thing of it is that they're so kindly written, right? They're not dictates. They're not hard, fast, you have to do this or you go to hell kind of instruction. It's just, it's, this is where you are. And if you want to live a life that is happy and successful and fulfilling, then here are some great steps for contributing to that, for helping in that. You know, as Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're not of it. And we can, and about those, the Eightfold Path, just, they're just beautiful. I don't know what to call them. Instruction, I guess, instruction, but I'm looking for a deeper word than that, which I'm not finding at the moment, for helping, you know, helping us remember who we are, helping us remember that, you know, what we, our attention gives life to whatever it is focused on, period. Good, bad, or indifferent. You know, we get in that worry spin and it explodes. We walk away from it. We detach from it. We accept ourselves where we are. Love ourselves. And that's what expands in our experience. So it's all, again, it's all up to us. Joel Goldsmith wrote, "For us, the great realization is that there's a kingdom. There's a spiritual kingdom, a state of consciousness, which is completely God-governed. Our lives are dedicated to the establishment of that kingdom, dedicated to the development of it within our own being." Quote, "In my Father's house are many mansions," unquote. Jesus said that. In that spiritual kingdom are many and varied mansions, all of them harmonious, joyous, and free, translating themselves into human modes of life. A life not lived on a mountaintop somewhere, separate and apart from the world, but lived right in this world. And usually lived in such a way as to make this human world a better place. First for you individually, and secondly for others who are led to you. And then on and on, in an ever-widening basis." That was Joel Goldsmith.
Hi.
Truth is truth. I love it. So how do we make the world better? We do it, well, number one, just being ourselves, right? Being us out in the world, but also through our work, through what we do, through action. And action takes me to the Bhagavad Gita. In the chapter called The Yoga of Action or Karma Yoga, Krishna said to Arjuna, "Activity is better than inertia. Act, but with self-control. If you're lazy, you cannot even sustain your own body. The world is imprisoned in its own activity, except when actions are performed as a worship of God. Therefore, you must perform every action sacramentally and be free from all attachments to results. Do your duty always, but without attachment. That is how a man reaches the ultimate truth, by working without anxiety about results. Your motive in working should be to set others, by your example, on the path of duty." And that's from the translation by Swami Prabhavananda and Christopher Isherwood. Now, Ruiz says, Don Miguel said, "Action is about living fully. Inaction," I'm going to move my microphone, "inaction is the way that we deny life." I'm going to read that one more time. "Action is about living fully. Inaction is the way that we deny life. Inaction is sitting in front of the television every day for years because you're afraid to be alive and to take the risk of expressing what you are. Expressing what you are is taking action." The Bhagavad Gita, and this is the Stephen Mitchell translation, says, "Even the wise man acts in accordance with his inner nature. All beings follow their nature. What good can repression do? It is better to do your own duty badly than to perfectly do another's. You are safe from harm when you do what you should be doing." Ruiz wrote, Regardless of the quality, keep doing your best. No more, no less than your best. If you try too hard to do more than your best, you'll spend more energy than is needed, and in the end, your best will not be enough. When you overdo, you deplete your body and you go against yourself, and it will take you longer to accomplish your goal. But if you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustration, self-judgment, guilt, and regrets. So all of that, you know, even the Gita, man, even the wise man acts in accordance with his inner nature. All beings follow their nature. What good can repression do? All of this, you know, the Buddha, the Krishna, you know, the Gita, it's all giving us permission to just be human, to just be human where we are in the day. That's where we have our success. That is success. That is success. I think is so different from probably what the majority of us were raised with. You know, it just is, but it's freedom. It's freedom. And it is acceptance. Acceptance rules through every one of all of the four agreements, through every single thing that we talk about. Acceptance. And my final quote about work is when you work, it's Gibran, Khalil Gibran from the Prophet. When you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. And what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with the threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear the cloth. Work. That's another, doing our best. You know, when we think about it, I think if it's always do your best, I think maybe one of the first places our minds go is to our work, what we do to our work, to our service, that kind of thing, because that's how we make a living. You know, that's how we provide for ourselves, is through what we do and what we receive income from. But that too goes back, you know, to work with love. Your work is your bliss. You know, it's just, it feeds you. You love doing it. And that love that you put into your work just expands and blesses you and whoever whoever is touched by your work. But back to, you know, to work only for the reward, only for the money, is not doing best. I mean, it just takes away from it. It takes away from it. It's like Krishna said, you know, the world is imprisoned in its own activity, except when actions are performed as the worship of God. When you can sacrifice, and sacrifice meaning dedication, dedicating your work, dedicating what you do, whether it's work that is your occupation or employment, or working in your yard, or, you know, doing something with your family, or making dinner, or whatever it is. When you take out any reward from that and you work for the sake of working, cook for the sake of cooking, you know, that in itself is a far greater reward than getting paid for it. I mean, really, because that expands your heart, it expands your mind, and it expands your gift to the world. And what you love, we can't keep that stuff to ourselves. It has to flow outward, because love is God. Talent is God. Every good thing that you do is God, the divine expressing through and as you. And so, the more we can be that clear instrument through which that flows, the more successful and happy our lives are. So now we come down to love and dedication. Stuart Wilde wrote, the force, God. This is from his book, The Force, which is God. The force loves you. But the concept was not properly understood by the philosophers who wrote the holy books, and that caused confusion. The love the force has for you is not an emotional love that, say, a kindly uncle might have for his niece or a mother for her child. It is a love that comes from the fact that the force loves itself. Therefore, because it is in you, it loves you. And the way to enhance that love is to love yourself. By so doing, you consciously concentrate on the force, and that makes it expand within you. This is not an egocentric, narcissistic love, but a love that comes from respecting all living things. And the greatest living thing under your immediate control is your own self. Does this mean you should not love others or go out of your way to help them? No. It means that you have to recognize yourself as God, as the infinite life force, and express that as strongly as you possibly can. Reverend Ike comes into my ear. Always put your best foot forward. Look good, feel good, smell good. Just express as you possibly can. Express the force. Express life. All good. Grace. All good. You know, and that includes your vehicle. Your vehicle called your body. Your body, your mind, and your emotions belong to you. They are not you. So Ruiz talks about the body. He said, if you do your best in the search for personal freedom, in the search for self-love, you will discover that it's just a matter of time before you find what you're looking for. It's not about daydreaming or sitting for hours dreaming in meditation. You have to stand up and be a human. You have to honor the man or woman that you are. Respect your body. Enjoy your body. Love your body. Feed, clean, and heal your body. Exercise and do what makes your body feel good. Your body is a manifestation of God. And if you honor your body, everything will change for you. When you practice giving love to every part of you, every part of your body, you plant seeds of love in your mind. And when they grow, you will love, honor, and respect your body immensely. And again, interjecting, that moves outward. That moves outward. And that is a peaceful being. You know, that's just a demonstration of a peaceful being. When you love, honor, and respect your body, then typically love, honor, and respect everyone else, right? You, it starts with you. It's the hardest one to work out. And love, honor, and respect part is for you, yourself. And now I just want to kind of end this, and we're probably going to be ending a few minutes early, but with the dedication aspect. Stuart Wilde wrote, once you accept the infinity within you, life becomes sacred. In the world of the ego, nothing in particular is sacred. So respecting your life and all living things and acting in a sacred way, your actions become and affirm your intention, an affirmation of your spirituality and your dedication to the infinite self. And he talked about, you know, you make something sacred through your attention, you know, rituals, doing things in dedication. I think when things are dedicated, when you make a conscious effort to dedicate something that you're doing, or your life, or your work, or whatever it is, then you automatically kind of make it a ritual. And rituals can become so, I don't know, how do I say it? Big isn't the word, but really beautiful and expansive, because you're giving something your attention, and attention is love. And what you focus on expands. So when you know, whatever your ritual is, like, and it can be anything. It can be anything. Like, I think about our, you know, Grace and I, when we go for our walk in the morning, we do it a certain way. You know, we walk out the door, she grabs her stick, we go on our walk, we come back home. And that is a healing space for both of us. That walk, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, that is how we start our day. That's our ritual for starting our day together. But anything that you make special, you know, that you give that vibration of specialness to, is dedication. It's love. It's love. And what you love, loves you back. That's just how it is. That's how it always will be. What you love, loves you back. And so the more things you can find to love and make special, really, that love is God. You really are expanding your awareness and your experience of the God that is you. That is you. So I'm going to end this with another quote from Don Miguel Ruiz. He said, God is life. God is life in action. The best way to say, I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. The best way to say thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in the present moment, right here and now. Every action then becomes a ritual in which you are honoring God. After that, the next step is honoring God with every thought, every emotion, every belief. Every thought becomes a communion with God. And you will live a dream without judgments, victimization, and free of the need to gossip and abuse yourself. And that completes our circle with the four agreements, the last being always do your best. And I apologize again for my voice through this recording. I don't know what's going on, but we made it. I made it. And I just want to say thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you have a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.